Host DJ SusD on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. We're having a rent strike here in Eugene, and so now the pods have been turned away, the moving pods. And the other day, the police showed up, and when I got there, they had made a column of the neighbor's driveway and then drove a pickup truck through the neighbor's driveway into the backyard of Candace's house and moved her stuff out to the hoots and hollers of protesters. And so I showed up with a vest that said press on it, on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper on both sides of my vest, and stood right at the line, which the press, they, and to their credit, they did not mess with me because I had a press badge. So, but what you're going to hear is me standing there while the police are yelling at the protesters inches away from me, pushing the protesters so that they could bring the truck in. And then the truck, the apex of the turn is where I'm standing. So the truck went right around me, almost running over my feet. So, and I have to be careful because the press is viewed as a objective bystander. So you can't push that line, but the press can go right up to the line. And you know, this is the whole argument with embedded reporters: do they get accurate information if they just, you know, work for the military? So anyway. So, yeah, in the future, I have to make sure I respect that line for the other press. Okay, so that's what you're going to hear here on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. And then what I've done is the rest is moved along on the timeline in Audacity, so you're so in the edit, so you're going to hear a repeat, and you'll get the background information toward the end of the show, and new stuff at the beginning of the show. And we're waiting right now for the police to come and arrest people for trespassing, because there are people there camping now, and she just wants to do a land trust there, you know. Sharon won't make quite as much money, but she will be more of a part of the community if she just turns it over to a land trust. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media. So that will be coming up, and then over the next few weeks, depending on how this situation resolves itself. Record eviction rates right now, and other states do appoint attorneys for evictions, but not Oregon, where we have a shortage of public defenders. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Quit your job.
Man, I'll get you a job if you quit right now.
Didn't someone quit their job?
Eric Humphrey quit his job. How's he doing?
Eric Humphrey.
Hey guys, gotta step back. Just step back. Step back. It's fine, you'll be moved back. Yeah, now you're in the street.
Push it.
One solution!
Revolution!
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 remain off the property. Anyone that goes on the property could be subject to arrest for criminal trespass. We support your right to protest. We support your right of free speech on the public property. But anyone that goes on or remains on the property could be subject to arrest for criminal trespass.
Sit there and stare like how you're staring now. Hey, I will offer a job if you got $22 an hour.
Stop pushing through or you're going to jail.
I'm not pushing.
You just tried to push through. That's on camera.
He was pushing me.
You got your leg sticking through.
I was just trying to stay where I wanted to be.
Back up.
Get back. Let go of me.
You're
an asshole.
Well, that's nice if you're rude.
Get back.
Get a real job.
Watch my foot. Stand back.
You guys are fantastic.
If you use force against us, force will be used against
you. You're the one using force against me. I'm just trying to remain in one fight. I have a right to do that.
You do not right here. You do not. That's what we're trying to tell you. You do not.
Where?
Go ask your legal defense team.
You go fuck yourself. We have a surplus of housing. But because of shit like this, there are families on the street. And you are making one right now.
Right.
I hope you can live with yourself.
Using backwards
because force. I couldn't if I were you.
Go home! 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 Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home!
Go home! At least you have a home.
Go home! Go home!
Please don't read Yelp reviews.
They look for the one-star reviews of anything.
Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. The saga continues on the Eugene eviction rent strike. Went to Candace's trial, and then you can't record the trial, of course, but I'll tell you a little bit about what my impressions were as a witness to the trial. And, well, not as a witness, but as an audience member of the trial. Sorry. But, And so I got reactions from Candace and, or and unnamed people afterwards. So, and I, like I say, the saga is continuing at this, at the time of this recording. The R&R Properties has come with pods to move people out, and the pods have been turned away, so they're waiting for the sheriff right now. But they have a whole, they've made it into kind of a festival, rent strike festival there. So you'll hear the comments about that. But first, I'll have a, I have a couple things to say, and then I have some music that sort of goes with what we're talking about. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. All right, so just a couple of things before I get into my a little short commentary on the rent strike trial. The reason I got into sustainability, and I've, this is going to relate to this. Don't worry, I'm going to come back around. The reason I got into sustainability, I woke up one day and there was just no good food around. There was only just corporate food, McDonald's, and this was in the San Fernando Valley, where I grew up. There just was, and this lasted, you know, a year or two, because everything just was corporate. So that, and after reading Francis Moore LePay and others, I realized that, you realize that still to this day, our food supply is controlled by Archer Daniels Midland. 42% of your food supply is handled by one corporation, which means it's all handled. If you handle 42% of a market, you handle the entire market. So what's going to happen if they suddenly decide, like Soylent Green, to turn things into Soylent Green? So, and this was the era, you know, we were all watching Soylent Green. So, yeah, I would rather be dependent. I don't think I want to be dependent on a corporation for my food supply. I'd rather be dependent with the farmer down the street. In fact, there was a, when I grew up in, on Van Nuys and Ventura, there was an actual farm on Van Nuys and Ventura in, into the 70s, almost into the 80s. There was literally a small farm right there on Van Nuys and Ventura. So that's where I'm coming from with this show is corporations. I'd rather depend on nature than corporations. And this is why there's a point at which these are the commons that are, that all of us have rights to. And one of those commons is housing. So that's what we're talking about here. All right. So my impressions of the trial. So what I've been telling everybody is why, if the sheriff comes to your house and evicts you, why is this in a civil trial and you are not appointed a lawyer? Because obviously, and I don't want to go, I may get in trouble for going into too many details of the trial, but it was obvious that she needed a lawyer. It was a, it was straight out of an episode of Law and Order. She was the wrong person on the episode of Law and Order that tries to represent herself. And, you know, because she mentioned something over here, that means they're able to bring evidence in against it over here. Whereas if she hadn't mentioned it, they wouldn't have been able to bring it in. So several of those went on. There was a friend of the court that had a citation about, because what they, apparently it is not against the law. They were saying that it's not against the law to withhold rent if repairs aren't done. So a friend of the court said, well, there is a citation, is at least this was my interpretation, that there is a citation where, yes, you can withhold rent if repairs are not made repeatedly. So, and what her point was the repairs were not made correctly, so she had to keep calling for repairs all the time. And so none of that was let in fairly into evidence, and a person witnessed that the house was in disrepair before this person owned it. And they did not, there was no upkeep. The house was vacant for a long period of time and was not upkept before Candace even owned it, according to this witness. So what I've been telling everybody is why, if the sheriff comes to your house and evicts you, why is this in a civil trial? We don't have debtor's prison in this country, and if I owe you money, you know, they can repossess your car, and those are an officer of the court, but they cannot pull you out of your car when they arrest you and take your car, A, and if you have it in a locked garage, they can't come in and bust in and take your car, and they can't arrest you. So they may be a deputy of the court, but it's not, it's the same as the sheriff coming and arresting you for non-payment of rent.
or throwing you out on the street where you will become a criminal because you are not, because you don't have a house. So ultimately you're going to either become a criminal or get sick. So something that important, gee, maybe we should have a public defender. And of course, there's a public defender crisis up here in Oregon, as there is across the country. Because people, we have rights in this country, and your right is to have a public defender, even if you're in Guantanamo Bay. Okay? Even if you're a terrorist and there's obviously guilty, you still deserve representation. We've found that out from 400 years and whatever, 2,000 years of civilization. We figured that out. That one, at least. Okay, so coming up, Candace's reaction to her trial and some music related to the issue. Thanks for listening. Oh, and before that, though, I'm going to read you from the Double-Headed Hydra, because what that is about is land and the use of land. And like I was saying, you can't, if you're making it to where no one can live off the land without paying you rent, then that is wage slavery. So there is, and there is another way, and you can't, whether, even if you have a perfect system, you cannot make it to where no one can live in nature that was already here before you came up with this system. Okay? So that's the Double-Headed Hydra. Turned on to me by a lecture I've played before on the origins of oppression. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
This is I found out about this from a lecture that I've played on the origins of oppression, and he talked about Gone to Croatoan, which is a different book than The Many-Headed Hydra, but a similar concept, that the concept of that there were many alternative societies in the United States that were live-off-the-land movements that were basically destroyed by the corporations of their day, like the East India Company and the Massachusetts Bay Company and the Virginia Company. So, for instance, you all know the story of the Roanoke colony that disappeared, that you are taught in junior high. What they've found now is that there's DNA evidence that proves this, and what Gone to Croatoan, the reason it's titled that, is what the Roanoke party left on a tree was a note that said Gone to Croatoan, and that was an island where the natives lived for thousands of years. And so they believe the Roanoke colony, instead of sitting there waiting and coming up with a bunch of export product, corn or whatever, for England to come back and get, they said, to heck with this, we're going native, and went off with the natives. So that's what this many-headed hydra also happened on Bermuda, when there was a shipwreck, and the tiny ship was tossed, and if it wasn't for the courage of the fearless crew, the Sea Venture would have been lost. So that's where we are. This is the very first chapter of Many-Headed Hydra, and that's where we are. The ship has been wrecked on Bermuda. The Sea Venture was wrecked, miraculously without loss of life. Between two great rocks in the islands of Bermuda on July 28, 1609, the 150 wet and terrified crew and passengers, men and women originally intended by the Virginia Company of London as reinforcements for the company's new plantation, straggled onto a strange shore, a place long considered by sailors to be an enchanted Isle of Devils, infested with demons and monsters, and a ghoulish graveyard for European ships. Chartered in 1511 but shunned by seafarers for a century afterward, Bermuda was known mostly through the accounts of a few mariners, renegades, and castaways such as Job Hortop, who escaped galley slavery in the Spanish West Indies, passed by the island, and made it to London to tell his tale. Sylvester Jourdain, a passenger on the Sea Venture, would later write that Bermuda afforded nothing but gusts, storms, and foul weather, which made every navigator and mariner to avoid them, as Scylla and Charybdis, or as they would shun the devil himself. Sorry about that pronunciation, it's all Greek to me. The eeriness of the place owed much to the harsh, hollow howling of nocturnal birds called cahows, whose shrieks haunted the crews of passing ships. The reality of Bermuda, as the shipwreck soon discovered, was entirely different from its reputation. The island, in their view, turned out to be an Edenic land of perpetual spring and abundant food, the richest, healthfulest, and pleasantest place they ever saw. The would-be colonists feasted on black hogs that had swum ashore and multiplied after a Spanish shipwreck years earlier, on fish,
grouper, parrotfish, and red snapper that could be caught by hand or with a stick with a bent nail, on fowl that would land on a man or woman's arms or shoulders, on massive tortoises that would feed 50, and on an array of delicious fruit. Much to the chagrin of the officers of the Virginia Company of Bermuda caused many of them veterly to forget or desire ere to return from thence. They lived in such plenty, peace, and ease. Once the common people found the land of plenty, they began, quote, to settle a foundation of ever inhabiting there. Theirs was a more joyful and happy meeting in a more blessed world after all. It is not surprising that the shipwrecked commoners responded as they did, for they had been told to expect paradise at the end of their journey. In his Ode to the Virginian Voyage of 1606, Michael Drayton had insisted that Virginia was Earth's only paradise where nature hath in store fowl, venison, and fish, and the fruitfulest soil, without your toil, three harvests more, all greater than you wish. Robert Rich conveniently confused the Bermuda and Virginia experiences in his poetic propaganda for the Virginia Company. There is no fear of hunger here, for corn much store here grows, much fish the gallant rivers yield. 'Tis truth without suppose. He concluded that in Virginia there is indeed no want at all. Another Virginia Company advocate knew that such reports were false, that some in England had dismissed them as utopian, but he nevertheless maintained the lie, promising prospective laborers a six-hour workday in which the sap of their bodies would not be spent for other men's profits. Many colonists had headed toward Virginia on the Sea Venture and other vessels with the heat and zeal of a Romaine year of jubilee. The biblical jubilee authorized the call for an end to bondage and for the return of the commons to the dispossessed. Bermuda seemed the perfect place to enact this biblical prophecy. Strachey, a shareholder in and secretary of the Virginia Company, noted that among the shipwrecked there quickly arose dangerous and secret discontents that began among the sailors and spread to others. A disunion of hearts and hands soon followed. Those who wanted to go on with the money-making venture in Virginia were at odds with those whose hands were supposed to get them there. The chief complaint of the seamen and the other hands was that in Virginia nothing but wretchedness and labor must be expected, with many wants and churlish entreaty, i.e. poor provision, there being neither that fish, flesh, nor fowl, which here at ease and pleasure might be enjoyed. They somehow knew whereof they spoke, for colonists in Virginia were at that moment eating leather boots and serpents, looking like anatomies or skeletons, crying out, "We are starved, we are starved." One man killed his wife, chopped her up, and salted her for food. Others dug up corpses from graves and ate them. The Bermuda castaways wanted, meanwhile, to repose and seat where they should have the least outward wants and while. The comparative demographic facts support their claim. The other eight ships and 350 people originally in convoy with the Sea Venture arrived in Virginia only to encounter a catastrophic mortality rate that over 2 years reduced 535 settlers to about 60. The Bermuda settlers, by contrast, experienced over 10 months a net loss of 3 people out of 150. 5 died, only one of these apparently of natural causes. 2 others were murdered and 2 more executed, while 2 were born. Strachey wondered, "What hath a more adamantine power to draw unto it the consent and attraction of the idle, untoward and wretched number of the many than liberty and fullness of sensuality?" All right, so that's from the Many-Headed Hydra. So what they're saying is the colonists, you know, you just drop them off and expect them to grow corn for you to export back to England. And they just said, "The heck with that. We're just going native. What do I need to do that for? I might as well just go live with the natives and live in paradise." So I'm not saying we can go all the way back to that, but we've come way, way too far away from that. The world actually is a Garden of Eden if all the resources weren't controlled by a small psychopathic few. All right, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks and Independent Community Radio. Coming up, I talked to Candace after her trial and on her being evicted, and we're waiting at the time of this recording, we're waiting for the sheriff to come to evict her. So she's trying to take a stand and set precedent for evicting people. You have to go through a little bit more and get some public defender representation if you're going to throw people out on the street when you own all the property. That is slavery, when you charge rent and you own all the property and there's no alternative. That's
modern wage slavery. Okay, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Coming up, rent strike.
I changed lanes and I was like, hey, turn your brights off! I didn't know they were a cop.
But you said there's a cop, there's a police relationship to the trial.
I'm in College Grove, like Charlie Hansen's son is a police officer.
And Charlie Hansen is who?
The property manager. The lady.
All right, and
so this... She didn't get any mold complaints, but then like, I probably provided you the paint. Okay, bitch, why would you do that if I didn't complain about mold?
There was a whole issue about the emails back and forth that your husband had given them.
Yeah.
And what is this program? Is that easy to use, this program that you're communicating with?
I don't have access to it anymore. It is easy. And everything I said in there was pretty nice. Well, I let her know, you know, I was no maintenance issues. I don't like their maintenance coming in and doing a job.
I think it was very clear from the testimony given that they're up to slumlord and that they're barely, that this whole situation is garbage.
The bare minimum standard of the Eugene Code is how, what they uphold my house
well,
to.
But see,
well, my family doesn't deserve bare minimum. I don't pay them bare minimum rent.
They kept saying that they're going to address the issue. They need to resolve the issue.
Addressing it. They band-aid it.
Right. So did they, but they did they resolve the issue?
The thing about the Eugene City Housing Code and the rental housing code is that there's no real provision for mold. Unless your walls are spongy and falling down, they don't call it consider it a habitability issue because what I've been told specifically by Randy at the Eugene Housing Code office years ago, if we had a mold provision, there would be no housing. And I was like, well, that's true, but don't you think you all could have built some better houses? Like, passive airflow. This is the thing. Like, I have a minor in place-based design and environmental science. So, like, when I can look at this house, I see all of the potential of it. And when I look at how big this yard is.
Oh, yeah, permaculture.
There's two working families that could live back there. We could build two more houses back there. And Sharon didn't want to do this. There were spiders back there when I moved in here. Everywhere. Hobo spiders. It was freaky. And within a year, we had grass. We had a fire pit. We had people coming over from next door. We had a hole in the fence. We had community events over here. Ash has hosted a couple community events over here. And we did have it really beautiful there for a while. And then I let a bunch of hobos hang out this winter. Because, you know, they were in danger and it was wet and cold.
Well, but you said you let people store their stuff here in tents.
Yeah.
So they didn't, did they see someone living here? Or
they saw my brother Josh sleeping under a cherry tree. With no tents around him, just some tarps. I call it our little oasis.
Right, but that's not illegal to have...
In the middle of the day, that doesn't prove overnight camping.
Right.
Also, the legal framework doesn't matter. Candace is doing the right thing. We're in the middle of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, as far as, like, wages versus versus rent. And, like, literally worse than the Great Depression right now.
The worst hobo I took it over the winter was gonna die.
So, like, you think about how all these people...
Okay,
like,
yeah, he was gonna die.
Talk about their grandpas and how they lived through the Great Depression and how they lift all this stuff up and like how they took care of each other, but they're not realizing that that's what's happening right now. Like that's what's happening right now. That's what Candace is doing right now.
Being a good citizen.
It's being a good person.
You know, human.
Being a good person and like realizing
citizenship.
The fact they're like the homelessness crisis, the rental crisis is so massively bad right now. So many people cannot pay rent. So Candace is helping people. Candace is providing space at her own expense, possibly.
Definitely.
Candace is like...
definitely. Yeah. You know? $400
like,
electric bills.
Candace has tried to create stability and is being blocked by a lady who doesn't need this space, doesn't
who
care
doesn't
about this
come
space,
here.
Doesn't even lives in California. She's an absentee slumlord and she wants to maintain her status as an absentee slumlord when Candace is trying to make a life for her family. You know?
She wants to live off the fruits of my labor, dude, and I'm
yeah,
sorry,
like, why is Candace,
but I am tired of propping up white people.
Why is Candace
I'm tired
paying
of it, dude. How many
her?
Generations of my family have to fin do that before they say enough is enough?
Right, like this.
I'm saying enough is enough.
This
yeah,
is, yeah, the legal system is immoral and unethical.
And I ain't got no reparations yet to this day. Where the fuck is my 40 acres and a mule? My family's land was stolen twice. This bitch.
Oh, what,
I'm stealing
you,
her land.
Juneteenth
land
wasn't
back.
Enough.
Huh?
We asked the government to stop shooting black people in the street, and we got Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Okay, so like that's like the level of disconnect that we're dealing with right now.
Right, and the entire world had to demonstrate
well,
to get that.
And then they say that Lincoln is the one who freed the slaves. Right. I'll beg to differ, Maga. Enslaved people free themselves.
So you just mentioned something that they wouldn't let you use that how wealthy she is. They would not let you enter that as evidence of how wealthy she is.
Well, I don't give a fuck if she has no money. That's her fault. if she was born into a wealthy family that had multiple properties up and down I-5 region. They had a historic property in Portland that is still a historic building.
So she can afford to maintain her properties. Is why that was important
rent.
To the case.
She paid $0 for this house. $0 for that house. $0 for that house. $0 for the two in South Eugene on 25th Avenue.
Candace has a higher claim as far as how much money has gone into this property than she
I've paid
has.
More money than she has.
Just because, like, we don't know.
Even with Section 8 at the beginning.
There's some fuckery whenever some white person owns a whole lot of land that there's like, how did we get this land?
They pick a house and live in it and then
like, it's just absolute garbage.
Love that meme yesterday. It's like, no seconds for anybody till everybody's been served, except with housing. That was like so perfect. I was like, yeah, dog.
Well, and do you guys discern a difference between corporate ownership, though, of housing and individual ownership?
I think these house orders are a problem. I think they're a big part of the problem.
The root of it is property is ownership is a problem because, right. Like, housing should not be a commodity.
It should not be
housing
a commodity.
A
it's
right.
a resource.
You know? So, like,
it's like water. It's like king air. It's like food.
Right, exactly. Like, they're going to start charging us for air.
Like, right. Oh, they already have cameras.
They're charging us for water now.
Mm-hmm.
What? Can I have that shit?
Well, full disclosure, I own a piece of property over here, but if I had, and I did bought into the retirement thing where you would rent it out to pay for your retirement. So, but if I had, if I had.
About home share?
I am going to get with home share and try and get a tenant in there. What I'm saying is, though, let me finish. What I'm saying is that If I had a pension, if we had a different system where I had a pension, I would not need to do that.
Well, there's also...
So I bought into something.
How do you treat that person? When and how much do you raise rent?
Well, I've owned the piece. I purposely bought it so that I would not have to charge a high amount of rent.
You bought it.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So yeah, Sharon came from a magic evil vagina.
Oh, I worked grocery for years to pay for that property, yeah.
I'm saying she's never had a real job. She's a PR executive for oil and gas corporations. That's what she boasts. Read her blog. It's terrible.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. This is what's different.
So even if we're questioning the entire idea of ownership of land and rent,
we should take this away because our kids
we all recognize there are differences in how landlords got their property, how they treat people on it. Like, would you take if your tenant was like, you know what, I have some money and I think I'd like to buy the house. Would you talk with them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, because you get your money, right?
She's tried that many times.
Yeah, rent to own.
I offered her $500,000 for this house.
No response.
This house alone, not the whole lot. The whole lot is worth $600,000 now.
Rent to own used to be a really normal, natural thing. Because it was like, it was just a way to get families to get a leg up. And now that has dissipated just because of greed.
Yeah, and rent to own is also a shifty, shady potential agreement. If you can't obtain it, if anything bad happens, they just take your
investment. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's worse than a mortgage. You're paying much more than you.
I don't want a mortgage. I want to have a community land trust, and I want to build two more units here for families that need stability for their kids so that we can pull those kids out of the future system because they have a home place. Home place is a concept I learned in Appalachia. Appalachia is where the highest concentration of poor people in America own the land they live on. Right? And I've been told, or like the Kentucky Economics Association like touts this whole idea that, well, poor Appalachia's poor because those people don't leave the holler. Well, Appalachia is rich because those people protect the land. Mm-hmm. And those people's legacy there and their families owning that land, what are they supposed to do? Like, the suggestion was move to the city and get a job. If you have no education and you move to Lexington, Kentucky, you get a job for $8 an hour and you can't even afford an apartment to rent and you have a home where you're from. Why would you do that? Those people are smarter than Sharon, you know, because those people are in Lexington paying rent that they can't afford. They're not going to get a tenant in the holler, you know, and yeah, maybe it's like their economic disadvantage, but what advantages do they have? They have the advantage of community. They have the advantage of their family. They have the advantage of being on effectively what is their like indigenous land. Most of the people of Appalachia are indigenous in part. And Scotch Irish. That's like a really good, really interesting story about who those people are and where they come from. But the point is that they have their ancestral lands and they have the stories and the homes. And I don't know, Julie, would you say the family holler is pretty damn dope?
Yeah.
I mean, except that it's full of assholes.
Well.
You know?
People.
Yeah, but some people are cool. And like the thing is, you know, my husband is buried at the family cemetery that just got built for him. I named it, called King's Landing, in the family holler right there where his family is. We built
a They brought that up. The offense attorney, or whatever you want to call
it. You threw him the best damn funeral anybody could ever have asked for.
You brought up the GoFundMe money, and you had to use that money.
He's a dump. He's a dump. You don't know how to read as a court. We've raised this much so far. Like, we raised this much so far. We got taxed on it, by the way. And also, like, legitimately, like, $32,000 ain't dropping the bucket in Oregon in 2022.
Yeah, seriously.
Right, what can you get for $32,000?
You can get a funeral and existence for 10 people for a year. If you're frugal.
All right, and so you...
and you get food stamps.
You reached a point where you would not let them in for repair.
That was just like the last week of school, last week. It was last week they wanted to basically install a porta potty, tell us we couldn't shower in our house for a week. And during the last week of school, and have them finally come in and do some, I guess, substantial repairs to the bathroom. But I recognize that as one way that landlords have been using to kick people out of their houses. Mm-hmm. Like, the last year I worked at Homes for Good, one of the things I kept seeing was, oh, they want to no-cause people? They got to do substantial repairs to the bathroom, so they're just kicking people out so they can do that to the one bathroom in the unit. Right? Mm-hmm. What if they came in here and dug out and found more problems?
Right.
Then I just got to go because of that? Because they're fitty at construction? Because they built the house?
And you're halfway out already.
Right.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not showering here, I'm not pooping here. I'm not in a goddamn porta potty, and neither is Leslie. I don't know what anybody else would do, but I'm too good, I'm just germaphobe.
Well, so the repairs are either a palliative covering up or an entire rebuild of the property.
It was a total categorical lie that she never heard about the mold here. I had a maintenance man come here and repaint my entire bathroom one day. I remember because I had to poop really bad, and I went over to my tray to use the outdoor bathroom, but it was locked, so I pooped behind it. I was like, I didn't know I didn't have a key for this. And so, like, that guy came in, he was like, landlord, the property manager sucks, they're cheap, they always do the cheapest things, I'm gonna do the best I can by you. He used like 2 cans of their paint, painted over the entire bathroom with Kills after cleaning it. We had been cleaning it with TSP, we still have a box of TSP, okay? And then next year it came back. And he left us a can.
But you are responsible, under Oregon law, you are responsible for mold and vermin, I know.
And that's not true. I don't know when Oregon LTL changed, but vermin is the responsibility of the landlord. Pests are the responsibility of the tenant.
Pests.
As far as I know.
Pests.
Yeah. Pests.
Pests. Pests.
So and bugs.
Vermin are a pest. Oh, vermin,
vermin are,
not are
living
pests.
Animals.
Hello.
Hi.
Alright, so,
rats, which have already been here, because my tray has open composting pits.
And then, so your neighbors...
Yeah. Talk about that when you're ready.
With the rats?
I want to talk about my tray as composting when you're ready.
I'm ready, whenever you're ready.
Just long story short, we have it in such a way where it's not appealing to rats.
Okay.
Like, we put stuff on there once a week.
Oh.
It breaks down pretty fast, and then rats are like, oh, Move. It's rotten.
Well, that's better
We're
than it was.
We're not just, like, continually adding to it like a salad bar.
Well, it's better than it was, because I remember, like, when I moved here, the Lower Pumpkin had a huge rat problem, and that's what they were blaming it on.
Yeah,
so maybe
I haven't seen any
created
rats
a resolution.
Since I've been here for 2 years.
They did do some work on the Lower Pumpkin to make sure that the rat problem was resolved.
Yeah, I haven't seen a rat.
So, I'm trying to wrap it up here. So, and so the blight that she, in her neglect for the property, the blight, she was causing blight here that was lowering the property
She was causing depression here.
Of the community. Is that?
No, she wasn't, she didn't cause anything like blight. She just failed to give a fuck about my family, even though I was keeping her alive, basically, in San Mateo, or part of what's keeping her alive and her hair done.
I'm just looking for reasons why she should maintain the property properly.
Because she should give a shit about the people who pay for her survival.
Like, what are we paying for? What is rent even?
What am I paying for? I'm paying for her to tell me what I can and can't do in my own home. I'm paying for them to tell me that my kid's bike is trash. Like the pictures that they showed us of the rubbish that it's a bike, some art, and that's it. Some building materials, a cooler. There's no actual, like, and there is back there, I promise you. People got out of hand, and I dealt with it the best I can, but also people bring me stuff thinking I want it, and they just leave it here. They're like, here's a gift for you. We love you. Blue, blue, blue.
Also, the laws about what they can see from the street for a reason, right? And the thing that was nothing was here. The stuff that might have been a problem cannot be seen from the street, right?
No.
People determined? Yeah.
Somebody complained. We don't know who. I think it was, you know, either the owner of that house or the person who lives next door that doesn't like me. But also, like, I'm gonna buy. Does somebody want to go buy cigarettes? Hey, Slash.
One. All right. So one more. Prudhomme. John. Yeah. Do you know what's the Prudhomme quote about property where he says? Well, he says that you don't have a right to property when you own all the property. You don't have a right. Everyone has a right to home to a home. You know, you don't have a right to charge rent.
Nobody does have a right to a home
when you own all the property.
Everybody's a need for one. Our rights are not included in, like, we don't have any rights included in needing a home, dude. Like, none. There's no right that says everybody has a right. Everybody has a right to life, liberty, and property. But that was before they included black women and men and women in general and any of that. When that was written.
Do
when
I have a they, right to stand in one place?
Rights! They're bestowed by somebody on high. I don't care about rights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I care about my care justice. About
it's not about rights.
Right. I don't give up the Constitution because I wasn't in it.
Do you have the right to play basketball in the room?
Well, let me, I'm get out of your meeting. Let me get you, you guys do your meeting.
Yeah.
So that's
You're
it.
Not going to record
you.
That. Thank you so
no,
much.
You don't want
turning away from the pale and downtrodden and the words they say which we won't understand. Don't accept that what's happening is just a case of other suffering. Joining in the turning away, it's a sin that somehow light is changing to shadow and casting its shroud over all we have now. On the wings of the night, as the daytime is stirring, where the speechless unite in a silent accord, using words you will find the strength, mesmerized as they light the flame, feel anew in the change on the wings of. We'll be right back.
There's a scourge threatening the airwaves right now. I'm talking about that earworm wrangler and rhyme criminal, Justin Bieber. I don't care if he gets his coke from Colombia, his product from Pennsylvania. He should be arrested just for rhyming holy with hold me. His music is vapid. His lyrics are trite. Now don't kill Justin Bieber. Cutting his hair will only slow him down. If you want to stop Justin Bieber and others like him, go to kepw.org and become a sustaining member, or just send a couple of dollars. We're all volunteers, so you get more bang for your buck. Go to kepw.org and stop inane music today.
I went to the Pride is a Riot Fest, so I'll be playing that over the next few weeks. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions.